Mary Grace Clements. Good morning, Mary Grace.
Hey, good morning.
All right. Well, let's start by talking about it looks like that at least there's a light at the end of the interim tunnel for you, so to speak.
Yes. Surprisingly enough, I'm very excited to as you all saw the press release, to announce Enrico Villegas is joining us. He's a great fit for this community. He is a star in this world, in this work. He's so excited for he and his Sarah, his wife, and he has three children with one on the way. And so he's looking to settle into this community and make a difference and work very hard for the residents of Hutchinson. So I'm very, very excited.
All right. And he's going to have his official start date to be at the end of a month, and then that's basically what happened when I moved here. Our leadership then were really, really kind to me and started my first day as the last day of the previous month, because that changes, for those that understand health insurance, the date that your health insurance can start. And that's what happened with me when I got here, and I'm guessing it must be something similar with Enrico, because you're going to start him right at the very end of May.
We are. Number one, I have every Wednesday I have a staff meeting with all the directors, so he's going to be coming in and starting off now. Obviously, the staff has already met him. They were involved in in the interview process. He will be starting on Wednesday and onboarding. And as you know, when you start with a new company or a new business, there's work that has to be done, paperwork and insurance forms. And as I said, his wife, Sarah, they're expecting their child along the way. And to get insurance and get that processing is vital to make sure he's here and secure and set up well to be able to focus on the job at hand.
Well, and that's what is going to be so interesting about the coming couple of months. And I know that coming in from Missouri, number one, and number two, being brand new, I'm going to guess you're going to really kind of help him through at least between now and budget time in August.
Absolutely. Our plan has always been that there's going to be an onboarding process and a transition. And I've committed to the council and actually to the community that I'm willing to stay on to help however that's needed, because the most important thing we can do is not lose momentum that we've been trying to make and not stop the progress of a lot of the different projects we have in play. And so if it's a week, if it's a month, if it's 3 months, whatever's needed, I'm going to help make sure that he's set up on a solid foundation so that he can continue to move the community forward.
Well, and the city just has a lot going on. I mean, you've got the ongoing projects that you're working joint with the county on, which are like the water down toward the Yoder area, mm-hmm. to help solve, yep. that problem, and the water issues south of South Hutchinson for the new industrial park and those kinds of things. I know that the two groups had a meeting last week, the city and the county and the city of South Hutch. How did that go?
That, you know, went very well. That's since my tenure here, that's the second time we've done that. We had a great exchange on the housing assessment. For those of you who are not aware, the city of Hutch was going to have a housing assessment done on our city to see what type of housing we have, what our needs are, if there's been a change. We hadn't had that done since 2009. And can you imagine how much has changed in one person's life from 2009 till 2024? So in the city, it changed so drastically. But working with the county and with South Hutch, we were able to put a collaborative plan together where we're getting it done for the entire region and helping with some of the costs so that one entity is not carrying the load on that.
Well, and I think that's going to be fabulous, because I did have, and I've said this off the record to a couple of people, but it was an on-the-record conversation. Rice County Commissioner Terry David spoke at a Farm Bureau event in Rice County that I happened to attend for other reasons. There were other public officials there. And he said, no one has ever been able to explain to me what affordable housing actually is.
Right.
And I think to myself, well, that's a math problem is what that is. It's called, how much money does your median income need to make To have 30 to 35% of their income go to housing and turn it, and then turn that into an amortized amount for what houses are worth. In Hutchinson, you at least have the older housing stock that can be renovated and mm-hmm. things like that. Some cities don't have that.
It's true. And one of the things we've been working on, we work with the Hutch Rec that has healthy neighborhoods, and they have the seven different neighborhoods, identified neighborhoods like Southwest Bricktown and Farmington and places. And we held joint meetings, and Denise Gilliland has done a great job with that group leading them. And she has put together a lot of data. There's data from the city, the county, the health department, and it really shows glaring differences when you look at the communities that we've identified, that are labeled, if you will, Southwest Bricktown, Farmington, College Grove. And there are vast differences in the housing that's available in those entities, as well as different challenges, whether it's Wi-Fi, whether it's access to healthcare, whether if it's a rental property or an owned a home that's owned. And those things are so different and so vital. And so we need to take a collective look at that. We need to see what our inventory is. We need to see what we need to move the community forward. And I will tell you that there is a workforce housing challenge is evident. We're dealing with it right now, trying to find a home for our new city manager. This is a problem, that a systemic problem that we have in the community. And it's something that we're very focused on, not just the city, but the county, as well as South Hutch, because this is a regional issue. If we want workers, we have to work and fix our housing issue.
Mary Grace, it is spring, and I feel like I ought to knock on wood. Sounds like we might get some rain. Mm. When that happens, the grass grows. And so that's just something that every city has to decide how they're going to deal with, is those areas where people, for whatever reason, may not be able to keep up their yards the way they used to.
You know, that is something we've just put out a post about the grass and reminding the residents of the ordinance that we have. And that's a challenge. There is an ordinance that if the grass gets higher than 12 inches, you're required to mow it. And it's not that we're driving around looking for trouble. We don't have people out scouring areas, but if there's complaints and things, you could get a notice of violation where you're on notice. You have, you know, so many days, 10 days to be able to get your yard mowed. Now, if that's a challenge, it could be a business, or it could be a residential home. And if there's maybe someone who's elderly or ill, we're going to want to be able to communicate with them and let them know what is the issue. We do have churches, we have school groups that are always looking for projects to go out to help folks. So it's not like we're going to turn a blind eye, but we have to have some control and some process to be able to make sure we maintain the city in a manner that we expect.
Do you guys contract that, or do city employees do it?
That is put out for bid every year, and it is a bid process, and someone is awarded the bid. So what will happen is, if you don't do that, the city will go forward, they will mow your yard, they will charge you the fee and an administrative fee on top of that. And so it's where the little bit gets a little touchy, if you will. And the intent is, and again, this is for businesses as well as, you know, the city does not want to be in the lawn care business. We do not want to have this is not something we want to focus on, but it's inevitable and it happens every year. Last year it went up 400% over the year before of how much work that we were seeing coming in, because we had a lot of rain in the beginning of the spring. And it was quite a challenge for the one person I have doing this. One person, a codes person, that's out there doing this. So it's not something that they're out driving around and, oh, let's get them. It doesn't work that way. But we have a process. We have to follow the process. That's what we're there to do. And we also understand there's a difference between spring grass and a little summer grass, because Bermuda, if you know, comes in later in the year. And sometimes with the spring grass, you have to let it grow a little higher. We understand that. So it's not something that we're all focused on running out there with a pad to start violating with violations for folks.
Right. And so it's important that people understand that 12 inches is for anybody several weeks growth. This is not something that's going to happen tomorrow to to anyone, I would guess, in town, unless they left it unmowed all winter, basically.
Right. It's a problem we have every year at this time. We try to put out some communication to the public, and, you know, it gets people up a little riled up a little bit, and that's okay, but we're going to have to talk about this and make sure there's a way that everybody understands what the expectations are for the city as well. We understand that we have grass that we have to mow as well. We're in the process of hiring all our seasonal help. So if anybody out there is looking for a seasonal job and likes to be out and mowing, we've got the job for you. Come to work for us. We have a golf course. We have lots of positions like that are available. And so if you have a student that's out there looking for a job, we'd love to hire them for the summer. I also, to end it on a good note, Nick, if I may.
Sure.
If you haven't had a chance, go out and check our bike adventure pump area there.
Yeah, I was gonna say, there's a great video.
It's the drone. Yeah, we had some drone footage from our IT team that went out and took the video. And if you haven't seen that, they actually hand-rolled the asphalt onto that. And it's quite a thing. It's not done yet. It'll have a dirt track around it. We expect the grand opening of it. I mean, you can ride it now, but the grand opening will probably be in the beginning of June.
All right. And again, that is where exactly in the park is that?
That's right across from Department of Public Works. I forget the name of the street, to be honest with you.
Okay. And again, so that's out in the Cary Park area.
Cary Park. Mm-hmm.
And so you can go there, and if you've got kiddos with bikes or wheeled vehicles of any kind, you can pretty well go and have a lot of fun on that.
Sure. It's right across from the skate park.
Right. So definitely if you've got those, you've got one kid with a skateboard and the other one with a scooter, now they can both have fun out there.
That's right. So have fun. The parks are open. They're actually, it looks really nice out there, and the weather's going to hold. So get out there and enjoy them.